Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace and we beseech thee, Lord, that thou wouldst hear our prayers as we come before thee. And our prayer is in this evening hour that thy presence would be felt among us, that we would know, Lord, that thou art speaking to us and that thou hast drawn near unto us as we partake of thy word and as we yield ourselves unto thee. And so we just pray, Father, Lord, bless us in this evening hour. Grant unto us a blessing for having come together here in thine house. And may we take thy word forth with us, Lord, that we would prosper in thy way, that we would be spiritually minded, and that we might have life. For we pray this in thy son's name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in his Right and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Truly, it is a blessing when we read the Word of God, and actually this book says that there is a blessing in reading this book specifically. In the third verse of the first chapter, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." There is a blessing in reading the book of Revelation. And we are reminded of God's power and of his omnipotence as we go through and as we read the entire book of the Revelation that Jesus had given unto John. After the messages were given to the seven churches, we see in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 that it speaks of the great power and of the great glory of God, how that around the throne there are four beasts, there are 24 elders, and there is lightning and thunders and mighty things coming up out of the throne, and there is worship and there is honor and there is glory to our Lord. And then we see in the subsequent chapters, 6 and on, that there are plagues and that there is great destruction and that there is evil and that evil abounds. And the beast and the dragon, Satan, the false teachers, they seem to have great power. And then we come to chapter 19 that we read here this evening, and then we see again that power belongs unto God. And we see the glory that that he has and the strength that the Lord has. And so as we think sometimes of the end of the world and how difficult the times will be, let's always remember that power belongs unto God. We know that throughout history there have been great evil that has transpired. When we think of Haman, how he tried to destroy the Jewish race. He thought he would do that. And then as we think of slavery, how that happened, how people were stolen from their homes and from their land and taken to foreign lands and were sold and traded as souls flesh. As if it were just a commodity. If we go back to chapter 17, it speaks of how Babylon was great, but yet it was destroyed, and that there was so much commodities going being sold from Babylon that it was saying that it was just that the souls of men were just another commodity as gold was and as flour and the other things that they were selling there in Babylon. So we see that slavery was an evil thing that has transpired throughout the history of mankind. And then we see world wars and so many millions and millions of people have been killed because of world wars. There has been evil in this earth throughout time, since the time that Cain killed his brother Abel. There has been evil in this world. And there have been men, specific men, that have risen up that were evil and that had killed many people for initially for the furtherance of a cause, but it ultimately became their own agenda. And they became proud. We think of Pharaoh, how he held the people, the children of Israel, in captivity and in slavery, and he would not let them go. And he even responded to Moses, saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" He became proud, and he made lives made lives very difficult. And then we think of Haman as well. You know, Haman wanted to kill the Jewish race. He had his own agenda. Simply because Mordecai didn't give reverence to him as he walked by. We think of more recent history. Well, there was the emperors who also in Rome's time, who also created great destruction for the furtherance of their own agendas. And then more in recent times, there's Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong in China, who each killed tens of millions of people for initially for a great cause, for the betterment of their people, but ultimately it ended up being for their own proud service, for their own welfare. But then we remember that God is greater. We know that there is evil in this world, and there's evil men that have risen, and we know that at the end of the world there will be evil men, and there will be a society, as it's mentioned here, of Babylon. We know that's all coming. But let's remember that God is greater. God is greater. We read in Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He is the Lord." The four beasts, the 24 elders, the legions of angels and all these in heaven are glorifying the Lord because he is worthy. Because as this first verse that we read here, it says, "much people in heaven." I find that interesting that as it says that there's people in heaven saying, "Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." A great multitude glorifying God because of who he is. And to him belongs power. The Lord said, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give unto another, neither my praise unto graven images." Power belongs unto the Lord. And then it was read recently of how Gabriel came to Mary. The angels proclaiming to Mary that these great things are going to happen to you. You will bear a son, and his name will be called Jesus. And she's marveling, and she's saying, "Well, how can all these things be?" And Gabriel, the last thing that he says to her before he returns to heaven is he says, "With God, all things are possible. God can do all things." This is the great God that we serve. In the previous chapter, chapter 18, it speaks of what Babylon has become and how much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously and all these things. And it says, and then it simply says that, "Therefore shall her plagues come upon her in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her." Strong is the Lord God who judged her. Let's remember that the enemy of our soul is strong and he is powerful, but our God is greater. But our God is greater, and he's worthy to be praised. And so these first few verses here in chapter 19 speak of the glory and the praise that has been given unto the Lord. Salvation, honor, and glory and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, "Alleluia." And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat upon the throne, saying, "Amen. Alleluia." Our God is great. Our God is very powerful, and he can do all things. So as we consider when we think of the end of the world, and that phrase is sometimes a terrifying phrase, but let's remember that God is greater. God is greater, and he is all powerful. And there came a voice out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So this verse here, he says, I heard as it were, as it were. Well, in the first chapter, it says that there came a voice and said, Come, and it says that John says that, and then I was in the Spirit. And then I was in the Spirit. And here, John is trying to describe what is transpiring around the throne. John is trying to convey in a physical sense where somehow we would be able to understand it in some context. And so it says here, I heard as it were, like as if it was the voice of a great multitude. The voice of a great multitude. Perhaps you've seen on television, or you've been in a stadium, or you've been at a place where there's just a large group of people and they're all shouting. This is what the Apostle John is trying to convey here, the voice of a great multitude. And then, in addition to that, and as the voice of many waters. Probably all of us have been to Niagara Falls and stood at the edge there, and you just hear the water, you know, going over the edge, and how loud that is. And then he says, and as the voice of mighty thunderings. In living here in Ohio, we have the thunderstorms, and we hear these loud thunders, and for us it's exciting. It's exciting to think that that's the power of God. That's the power of God. Man didn't do that. That's the power of God. And to hear all these things, the Apostle John here is trying to convey. He's saying, as it were, the voice of many people, the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, all saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Such a mighty and powerful proclamation that it's not the beast, it's not the dragon, it's not the false witness. It's not a mighty king. It's not someone who came up with the mark of the beast that deserves this this accolade of Alleluia. And so let's always remember that as perhaps days grow darker and it becomes more clear that there is a mark of the beast coming. And there is a sway in this world that is going to be very, very strong against those who are believers in Christ. Let's remember Christ. Let's remember the Lord and that he is greater. And let not our heart fear, but let us have faith. Even as Daniel, we read last Wednesday night, Daniel had faith and he trusted in the Lord. Psalm 37. So this is our response to the end of the world, as it were. As the beast rises and as it becomes more and more clear of the mark of the beast and the evil days that would come. The psalmist says, Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't fret against them. Don't fret against them. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then further he says, Fret not thyself in any wise to do any evil. This is our response to the end of the world, is that we are to fret not in any wise to do any evil. We know that vengeance belongs to the Lord and that it's written more than one time in the Bible. In Romans chapter 12, it says that in one place, Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So when we consider that, as we read here this evening in Revelation chapter 19, that there is one who is coming on a white horse, whose name is faithful and true, and who on his vesture and on his thigh has a name written saying, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he also has a name that no other man knows but he himself. And he will go forth and he will conquer. And he will win the battle. And so the Bible therefore says, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And we are not to avenge ourselves. We are not to think that we're going to run in front of the white horse and conquer of ourselves. But we are to praise the Lord, and we are to be his servants. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. This is our response to those who may maliciously take our loved ones or kill some of us or do other evil things. This is our response to them. This is what the Bible is teaching us to do. If one comes and does these destructive things to us, our response is that we would feed them if they're hungry. We would give them drink if they are thirsty. We are to be the servants of the Lord. The Apostle John here in the beginning of this book says that he is a servant. And as we read here in verse number 2, that the Lord is avenging the blood of his servants at her hand. And in another verse, my eyes aren't landing on it here, in verse number 5, it says, "And the voice came out of the throne, praise our God, all ye his servants." We are to be the servants of the Lord. That's what the Lord is calling us to. We are to be his children and to do those things which would be well-pleasing in his sight. This is what we are being called to. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the saying, true sayings of God. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are blessed. We are blessed when we are meek, Jesus taught us. We are blessed when we are merciful. We are blessed when we are pure in heart. We are blessed when we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We are blessed when we are being persecuted. And here the Bible is saying that we are blessed as we are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is the true sayings of God. And so we are to be his servants. And we are to praise him. And this is the focus that we ought to have in our lives. And as days grow darker, and as the mark of the beast makes itself manifest, and we live in that society, if the Lord would have it to be so for our generation, that in our mind, we ought to be thinking, I need to praise the Lord as praise is given to him in the heavens, and I need to be his servant. I need to serve and do what he would have us to do. It says, I fell down at his feet to worship him. John is saying this, and the voice that came out of the throne said, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Again, a servant, and one that would render themselves unto the Lord and into his ways. Worship God. And then it speaks of the one on the white horse. Says that the heavens opened, and there was, behold, there was a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And it describes him there, and it says that out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, for he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Our God will take vengeance on the evil that is done. Our God will take vengeance on those who persecute his servants. Further on it says, and I saw a beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together for what purpose? Why is this king of the earth and their armies gathered together? They are gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the earth, upon the horse, and his army. The evil will unite themselves and will want to war against the Lord and against his army. And we might think, wow, well, that's going to be horrific. But then we read the next verse and it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and worshiped and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So we see that he whose name is faithful and true, he who on his vesture and on his thigh has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when the battle is against him, that he's victorious and mightily victorious. And we have to look at this verse and say, where's the verb? How did the Lord do it? We almost miss it. It just simply says that the beast was taken. That's it. There was no great struggle. It's just that the Lord took the beast and the false prophet. They were just simply taken and cast alive into the lake of fire. The Lord did it. Vengeance is his. It all belongs to him. The Lord did it. Man didn't do it. The Lord did it. And so we rejoice in the Lord. And the remnant, those that were fighting with the beast and the false prophet, that remnant, they were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's it. It's done. The Lord did it. He's victorious. He won the battle. But ours is to praise him, and ours is to be his servants. Ours is to glorify him. Ours is to be doing what he would have us to do, as Christ did upon this earth, what his Father wanted him to do. There was a time when Jesus was here upon this earth, and the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus out of Jerusalem, and they said to him, "Get thee out, for Herod seeks to kill you." Just as it would be at the end of the world, where there's persecution against believers. Jesus was here experiencing that. And so the Pharisees were saying to Jesus, "Get thee out, for Herod seeks to kill you." And Jesus simply responds to the Pharisees by saying, I do cures, and I cast out devils today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. He was being a servant. It didn't matter to him that Herod was looking to take him, whether that was true or not. It didn't matter to him. He was doing what the Lord would have him to do. He was curing, and he was casting out devils. Likewise for us, we are to do what he would have us to do. When the various servants got various talents and it was recognized what they had done, the Lord said unto them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is what we are being called to. This is what it will be at the end of our lives when all the redeemed come before the Lamb and come before the judgment. And it will be said to those who served him here upon this earth, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." Well done. We are to serve. We are to glorify his name. We are to praise him for all these things that he has done for us. The Lord Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." This is what the Lord is calling us to be his servants, to do what he would have us to do, to labor in his vineyard, to be a blessing unto others, to show kindness and love, knowing that kindness and love goes far, far deeper and further than any vengeance would take us. And so Jesus is saying, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, where Jesus is, in that victorious state, there also shall my servant be. The Lord Jesus will not say, "Well done, you've figured out what revelation means." But he will say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." And so wherever Jesus is, there shall his servants be. And that's where we want to be. We want to be with the Lord. We want to be victorious, knowing that the beast and the false prophets and those that receive the mark of the beast will be all cast alive into a lake of fire. But we want to be with the Lord. And we want to be there beside those trees that are by the river, in that place where nothing comes in that defiles. And it says, if any man serve, Jesus says here, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. To consider that God is on the throne. There are four beasts, 24 elders, multitudes of people's angels all crying with voices that are indescribable, saying, "Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And to him who all this glory and honor is coming to, Jesus is saying, he will honor us if we follow him, if we serve him. Let's not place our concern on so much as to who the false prophet is, how all that will play out with the mark of the beast, how the end of the world will come. Let's concern ourselves, am I serving the Lord? Am I laboring in his vineyard? Am I being a blessing unto others? Am I serving in any capacity that the Lord would have me to serve? Am I lauding and glorifying the name of God? Am I being a witness for him, knowing that God will honor me if I do? Let us yield ourselves to him and give him the honor and the glory that is due unto his name. Amen.
You know, many times when we hear something that is really so familiar to us, and then it just has an impact on us. And that happened this evening, as Brother John talked about the Pharaoh who said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And later on he says, "I know not the Lord." So is that really what we say today when we don't obey him? Who is he that I should obey him? It sounds, when we hear it that the Pharaoh said, it sounds awful, like, wow, how could he say something like that? And he saw the miracles and he still had his heart so hardened. And we know that the things that we have read are true. And yet if we disobey him, are we not saying the same thing? Who is he that I should obey him? It's a terrifying thought in light of that the Babylon, the great whore, has been defeated now. This is the marriage of the Lamb. This is the greatest love that the Lord has in all of the universe and his creation. It's his church, his bride. This is what time is going by and all culminating into this moment, the marriage of the Lamb and his bride, the church, you and I. And the time is now for the church to make herself ready, for the bride to make herself ready. And it's a very, it's not frightful. You know, we sang it in the hymns that were found, the prayers that were offered, the message that came out. This is a glorious moment. And it's something that we all look forward to. There's nothing to fear in Christ. Nothing to fear. There's victory and there's love and there's eternity with him. And John makes such a blunder when he falls at the angel's feet to worship him. And because he's seeing an angel who is delighted to just to be sent as a ministering spirit to you and me. As soon as he hears the Lamb give him instructions, go, he does it with a great joy to obey the Lord. And John is looking at an angel, and it's all this, in all his splendor and beauty, and falls at his feet. What is the Lamb then like when we will see him? That's heaven. And so let us today prepare ourselves for that moment so that we could, with great joy, look forward to this moment and not be as the Pharaoh. Who is this God that I should obey him? May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.